This is the Influencer Entrepreneurs Podcast with Jenny Melrose, teaching influencers and bloggers how to become successful entrepreneurs. This is episode 116 of the Influencer Entrepreneurs Podcast. Today, I am interviewing Mary Baird Wilcock, who is going to be giving us such insightful information about how to go about hiring a virtual assistant. So if you have struggled with trying to figure out when the right time was, how are you going to find them? Why would you hire a virtual assistant? This is the podcast episode for you. Now, before we dive in, I want to make sure that if you haven't already signed up, if you are not part of my membership site, Mastering Your Influence, that you get on board. We are constantly giving you the most up-to-date trainings every single week. Yep, you heard that right. You get a new training every single week, done live by me. Plus, you're getting an expert in the industry once a month coming in, giving specific information just to this group, as well as a group question and answer where you're able to ask any specific questions that you have, anything in your business. So if you're struggling with something, you can jump on the group call and ask away. I hope that if you haven't already signed up, that you definitely will. We are always accepting new members and we look forward to seeing you in there. All right, let's dive into this episode. I'm so excited to have you here. Mary, would you introduce yourself to my audience? Tell them a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. So my name is Mary. I am the CEO of The Simplifiers, and we're actually based in Nottingham, England, though, as you can tell, I am a Texas girl through and through. We launched the company way back when in 2003, back in the States, as an events management company. So we produce non-traditional, large-scale events for clients like Facebook and Google and Microsoft and hundreds of weddings over the years. But then moved the company overseas, no big thing, really simple, easy. pivoted the company. So now we have the Simplifiers podcast. We do business coaching for those in creative industries, and I do public speaking as well.
Okay, very good. And you also are a mom of two boys, is that right?
One of each. So I have a girl who's 10 and a little guy who is 8 years old. So yeah, throw that into the mix of everything. Yeah, my life is really simple.
Exactly. But that's what I love. I think that it's so important for my audience to know that you're going to talk about simplifying things, but your life is just as crazy and busy as my audience's as well.
Oh, so totally. Do not be fooled here whatsoever, you guys. And I think that that's actually why I think I called the company The Simplifiers way back when. I'd like to believe that I had insight even 16 years ago, but really it's just because we as women, we are going 90 bazillion miles an hour. We are juggling all the things, you know? So when you add kids into the mix, when you add running a business, when you add all the things that people expect you, there's air quotes here, expect you and you should do, it's a lot. And so I really take the notion of, well, wait a second, pause on the crazy train. Is that necessary? Is that true still? And can we not simplify down? And actually, my belief in my core system over the last few years, as I've refined as a business owner, is doing less to accomplish more. And I know it's possible because we're doing it now.
So a lot of my audience often will describe their business as well as the, you know, home life can feel like it's a whirlwind. They're spinning so many plates that they're afraid that things, which one's going to drop first. And of course, we never want it to be our family or our children. But then the business side of things, we're just really, there's so many different things with social media and creating content. How do you decide what is the right thing to focus on first?
Yes. So one of my business mentors is Danielle Laporte, and she's written the book, The Desire Map. I highly recommend anybody that's listening to this right now, definitely pick up a book because it was transformational to me when I first read it and also just started to get clear on the what and the why in your life. And so Danielle Laporte's basic premise in Desire Map is this. It's not about what you accomplish, like setting goals. Like, I want to make $10,000 this month. I want to make $20,000. I want to make $100, like whatever it is, right? It's not about that. You start first by laying the foundation of your house. And the foundation of your house is, how do I want to feel in life? Like, I think sometimes we forget to actually ask those simple, simple questions. We just go, go, go in the hamster wheel because we think we should and because everybody else is and all that. But actually, when you break it down to that simple question, I mean, it is profound. So how do you want to feel in life? And when I started to ask that question of myself, well, how do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel connected. I want to feel love. I want to feel radiant. I want to feel deep contentment in the work that I do. Those are my, what she calls, core desired feelings. And when I was very clear on what my core desired feelings are, you could call them your core values as well, then it is so much easier to go, well, what am I going to do in order to feel the way I want to feel? And that was pivotal. So then you're setting goals with soul and you are really connected with what drives you from the inside out. And then when you have that clarity, then you can start to decipher, am I going to do that? Am I going to volunteer and be on that board of directors? Even though people keep asking me to do stuff, like, do I really want to do that? Is that really going to bring me the core desired feelings? You start to have a level of discernment and start to learn how to say no to the stuff that just isn't aligned.
So good. And it's one of the biggest hurdles that I see women kind of, that mom guilt. It's so interesting because I just recently had a conversation with a client who had said she was running the PTA and she's doing this other dance troupe and all the different things that she has felt the mom guilt of needing to do, but then feels like her business is behind and not getting the attention that it needs. And that's where her love truly is for when it comes to being able to move forward with it and provide the things that she wants to for her family. So I love that you talked about that piece of it, really about what you feel. One of the other things that I think about is that you get to a point and you start to hit those goals. And what I notice is high performing women, they don't stop to say, look at this goal. They push for the next one instead.
Totally.
They're away. I mean, I know we can consciously make the decision to take that breath and say, okay, look at what I have done. But is there another way that we can kind of almost force ourselves to do that? Whether it's writing it, what would you recommend?
Yes. So we have a thing within our team. And by the way, my team that works with the Simplifiers, 100% are all remote. So not one person sits in an office with me in the same place. Like there are people in the US, in Canada, in the UK. It's crazy. And so when you work with remote teams, and we can talk about that a little later, of like strategies of working with virtual assistants and all of that. It's different. So what we do is we do a lot of internal communications using Slack as our tool. And I have in the ethos of running the team and I drive the ship and, you know, I'm the people that they look to for role modeling and all that so that they also can start doing this on their own is every now and again, I just put into the general chat channel, celebrate a win. We call it just celebrate a win, you know, and, you know, it could be a teeny tiny win. Like, oh my gosh, we just landed this amazing person who is on our dream list to be on the podcast next spring. Or it could be a big win. Like, oh, we just landed this 5-figure client. Or we just, you know, this conversation with this person was like aha moments and everybody was lighting up. Like, it doesn't matter how big the win is or even how small. And I'll tell you, like, even in my own personal life, when you're feeling kind of in the dumps and, like, you know, maybe depression is kind of creeping its nasty head on you or your anxiety levels are high, your win might literally be, I put pants on today. And that is like enough, right? And don't forget to like, just stop and go, you know what? I got out of bed today. I put pants on. I got out of the house for 2 hours today. Like, that's fine. So look for your wins each and every day if you possibly can. But at the very least, do it at least once a week and bring your team into the ethos of that. So then they can start saying, hey, celebrate a win. I made it to yoga 3 times this week and that helped me hit my deadlines for my weekly tasks. Brilliant. That's what you want to get to.
Yes. So important. And I didn't even think of it that way. That's actually one of the practices that we have for my mastermind groups is that we always start with, okay, did you hit your goals? Now tell me your win. And it can, we've always said that it can be anything as little or as big as it needs to be. And you just have cheerleaders amongst that group that are able to lift you up for it. So perfect. I love that. Now, you mentioned virtual assistants, and I think that that's part of the, you know, you have so many plates spinning that then you need to decide, okay, when do I hand things off and what am I handing off and how do I even go about finding them?
Yes. Okay. So there are many parts to this. And let's start with the why first. So I think what a lot of times happens with us as women, I'm going to stereotype for a second, is that we take it all on. We take it all on our shoulders. We think, oh, I'm superhuman. I can do all the things and nothing can get me down. So we take it all on. And what I would encourage your listeners to think about, and my secret weapon, you may have heard me say this on an episode on the Simplifiers podcast. My secret weapon is the 7-minute timer. I don't know what it is, the magic behind the number 7 or the 7 minutes long. What I want you to do is this, is set a 7-minute timer on your phone, close out all the tabs on your laptop, or even better yet, close your laptop completely and grab an old-fashioned piece of paper. And I want you to write down on that piece of paper, at the very, very top of the piece of paper, why? Why do I think that I want a virtual assistant? What benefit will come of this? And just start journaling what comes up. Because I'm a big believer, and Jenny, I know you're probably the same, is that like, the answer you seek 9 times out of 10 is already inside you. It's just a matter of like pulling it out and shutting down the noise around you because your intuition is strong. Like the force in you is very strong, girl. So you just take that time to journal it out. First off, your why. And then the next thing you want to do in that 7 minutes is underneath your why, just 1 or 2 sentences is more than enough. You put heck yeah or hell no. And I want you to like jot down brain dump style and bullet points every single task you do in any given normal week, right? Whether that's bookkeeping or sales calls or graphic design or social media or blogging or blah, 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 blah. Just put it all down and don't edit as you go. You're just dumping it on paper. And then when you do that, then you can start to designate which ones are, heck yeah, like this lights me up. This gives me those core desired feelings. When I do this task, I feel on fire. And then the flip side is the hell knows. Like this is a pain in my ass. Like this, I feel stupid when I do it, or it's not in my my zone of genius. It is not something that energizes me. Like, is my hell no, that if I could just delegate this off, then my life would be so much lighter. My shoulders wouldn't hunch over and I wouldn't have panic attacks as much, right? So it's just a matter of getting it on paper and starting to formulate a plan after that. So the first 7-minute timer really gets it going. And I will tell you, the very first time you do a 7-minute timer, the first 2 minutes are going to be absolute trash because your brain's just not ready to work in 7 minutes. It's going to go like, oh, I don't know if this works. And then you're just write. But then the last 5 minutes of the journaling exercise is where the magic is. And you can start to see, okay, these are the things that light me up. These are the things that bring me way, way down. Now I know where I need to start to delegate and find somebody, anybody that can help me with those bits.
Okay. So first I have to love the fact that you said zone of genius. I actually have a podcast episode from probably 3 weeks ago on zone of genius and finding it and figuring out what it is, getting that energy that you talked about. So the question that I have for you is when you're writing this list, heck yeah, hell no, can I also include my household tasks?
So, oh, totally.
Okay, good.
Yes. Like this, in my mind, your life and your work, it's all mixed in together. You know, the idea of work-life balance is a mythical unicorn that doesn't exist. I believe it's all blended. So for me, I believe it's work-life harmony, because you are not just one thing. You're multiple things. So one thing I want to mention, once you've done that journaling exercise, the very key part that people, I think, mess up when it comes to looking for a virtual assistant the very, very first time is this. I believe there are what I call high-yielding tasks and low-yielding tasks. So higher-yielding tasks means that the work that you, as the business owner, as the entrepreneur, need to hang on to, this is your stuff. No one else can do it as good as you. And that, in my mind, includes sales, client relations, and potentially design. But in essence, design is part of client relations. So let's say you're a graphic designer. Let's say you're a coach. The things that you do that is your special you in the work that you provide, you can't delegate that off. You can delegate the admin part of it, like the nitty gritty, the paperwork, the blah, that weighs you down. But the magic and the juice that makes you, you and your business, you, those have to stay yours. Everything else, the lower yielding, what I call machine work tasks, there is somebody somewhere out there who loves doing that work and is really good at it and probably can do it 5 times faster than you. And, you know, is happy to take that work off your plate. So think about that when you're looking at your hell no's. If your hell no's includes sales, client relations, and your design work, you got a problem there, because that means maybe you're doing the wrong business altogether, right? Or maybe, and no shame here, like maybe you're just not cut out to be an entrepreneur. Like sometimes people get into running their own business, they're like, holy cow, this is a lot of work. I just kind of want to clock in and coast, you know? And that's okay. Like you just have to have that kind of come to Jesus moment with yourself to realize that what it is that I love, love, love to do, and what am I going to hang on to?
Yes. I want to go back to that design piece, because I think when I think design, I think like the graphics that I have to create or a lead magnet or something like that, where I'm in charge of the content, which is my voice, but then it's the pretty, the aesthetic that I have to hire out for personally. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's varying degrees of it. I think when it comes to your voice, as far as the content that you're delivering, that's where I think when you say design, that's where I thought of immediately was that voice that has to be there.
That's absolutely 100% agreed. Like if working in Canva or graphic design is like a slow death to you, or you're just like, I'm not that kind of a creative person, like absolutely delegate it off. But the voice, the essence, the juju of your business that makes you uniquely you, you can't delegate that.
Yes, totally agree. I love that. Okay. Yep. So now we have figured out these hell no kind of things that we need to hand off. Mm-hmm. We want to find a virtual assistant. Yep. Do you recommend finding someone that can do it all? Or is it better to find people, do you think, that's specialized?
Great question. Here is my thoughts on this. I'm one person with one opinion, but I certainly have tried both sides. And here's where I feel like it's working. You should, I hate using that word, it's a nasty word, should, but you should consider getting multiple VAs who are each individually specialized in their teeny tiny niche of skills. For example, trying to make one VA like your personal assistant who does all the things is just unrealistic. That person's going to know sales funnels, MailChimp, graphic design, and you know, managing your calendar. Those are totally different skill sets. And while it would be really nice to just hire one person and she or he magically does it all, I think it's way smarter to hire a VA who just does funnels. Just hire a VA who just does the back end techie stuff to managing your website, and really niche it down. And then think about it this way. I think sometimes there's a misconception that with a virtual assistant that you have to hire them for 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week. No, You might actually be hiring a VA for 5 hours a month, but they're very specialized 5 hours in, you know, building you a landing page or, you know, updating the plugins on your WordPress website. So don't be discouraged by the fact that virtual assistants in this day and age, and the day of recording this episode, roughly in the States, I think are anywhere from like $30 an hour to $50 an hour, US dollars. And if you're hearing those numbers going, girl, I don't even pay myself that. Like, I just want you to like rest assured, think about it differently. If you're booking a VA to build, let's say, landing pages for you, and they're doing it for 10 hours in, you know, 1 month, then that's a very small amount of money that you're actually paying them to do the work that you need. So think about it a little bit differently. It's not about like having a personal assistant who's going to work 20 hours a week and who's probably green, but you can't, I mean, it's expensive to pay somebody 20 hours a week, right? So you're having to get somebody that's just out of college, doesn't have any experience. So then you're training them on the things. That's not the way to go, in my opinion, with a virtual assistant. Hire somebody who's experienced, who costs more per hour, but very specifically experienced in that niche skill set for yourself. You're going to have much better results and they're going to work much faster.
Yes. So I would agree. I've definitely made the mistake of trying to find one person that does it all and then went, oh, this isn't working. And then finding those specialized. And I think it was the first one that I ever had was in tech, the back end of updating and just maintaining the website. And I had looked back after tax season and said, okay, look at all my expenses. Yeah, that's the best expense that I make for my business. And that was when I looked and I was like, eye-opening to me that I need to find more people like that I can say, okay, this is what they're doing for my business. I can see the growth and the time that it's saving me. Because I think that's what we often miss is the time that we could be doing something more higher level that could potentially make us more money, whether it is actually revenue generating or it's creating content that could increase page views, whatever it might be.
That's it. That's the higher yielding task. So when you're delegating that stuff off of your shoulders, right, you have time to go chase after those cold calls that you know you need to make. You have time to follow up against those big proposals you've got out on the table. You've got time to nurture and love on your existing clients like you really should be. But what happens is because you're so darn busy doing all the nitty gritty lower yielding tasks, you don't have time to do it. So this is the secret, the aha, is to start to learn how to let it go. Really hard for a lot of us type A control freaks. Trust me, I'm a card carrying one myself. But like, let it go, delegate to people that are experienced and trustworthy. And yeah, you'll be surprised at how much they can accomplish in such a short amount of time.
Yes. No, absolutely. I think one of the places for me was podcast editing. When I first started the podcast, I was like, nope, I need to learn it. I need to understand how to do it. And 8 hours later, I had my first podcast episode up. And I was like, oh, that only took 8 hours. I need to hire quickly.
Yes, quickly. I know. Totally. Like I'm the first to admit it. If I didn't have the most amazing podcast editor in the universe, my podcast would not exist because it's so much work. And that's a perfect example of Zona Genius stuff. Like she knocks it out in no time flat where it would literally take me 8 hours per episode. And my time is valuable. Like 8 hours of my time that I could be closing deals, talking to clients, nurturing things, creating my zhuzh, you know, like this is, time well spent, 100%. One last detail before I forget to mention this.
Yes.
When you do interview a potential virtual assistant to bring on to your company, you're going to find a lot of people out there because it's now the new hot thing. Like, oh, I could be a virtual assistant. That's amazing. Like there's so many people out there that are saying that they are a virtual assistant. When you need to ask them, what is your zone of genius? What do you love to do as work? And their inclination, because most virtual assistants I've met are people pleasers. Like they just want to do, they'll just say, oh, I do all of this. And I say, okay, that's nice. But what do you do really well that really lights you up? And pause, don't say anything, wait for them to answer. And then you'll start to get the real answer from them.
Yes. So trying to find virtual assistants. I know I always will say to clients that will ask me is, ask others, who are they relying on? Yep. If you can get a referral, I think that's one of the best ways to be able to do it because someone else is seeing results from them.
Yep.
So let's say we don't have that kind of support system where we can go and ask someone, how would you recommend finding one?
Okay, great. Great question. Before I answer this, I really want to make clear it's a paradigm shift. So if you've never hired a virtual assistant before, you may be thinking about them as employee and you're the boss. It is not that. Like throw that paradigm out the window. You are the client and they are a vendor supplier. So you are their client. And that's really, really, really important. So you're not managing people. You're not holding their hands. You're not thinking about them as a junior and you're the senior. You're the client and they are the vendor supplier. So that's really important. In that, they are also likely business owners like you. So they also come to the table with a lot of a different approach to how to manage, you know, your set of tasks and all of that. Okay, so when it comes to finding great virtual assistants, here's what I think is the best. I know that, I'm willing to bet almost every single one of your listeners is probably in a private Facebook group of someone, some way, shape, or form, if not probably your own, right? Ask inside the group. You have a network, right? So like ask in the group, like, hey, I'm really looking for a virtual assistant who is great with Canva or creating graphics for Instagram. Who out there has got a great VA, right? And 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to recommend it. They're going to be like, oh my God, Sally was so amazing. She helps me with blah, 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 right? Ask your network that way in a private Facebook group. You know, if you go to local in-person networking meetings in your city, same, like put it out there like, hey, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. You'll also be able to find virtual assistants through agencies. So for example, the Simplifiers last year, we released a new division of our company called Hire a Simplifier. So we actually have virtual assistants on our team. And it really is the perfect evolution for our brand because we are all about helping people simplify their life. So, you know, it became such a natural next step for our company because then it's like, right, well, how about you hire a simplifier? Hire one of my teammates, the people that I trust and rely on to build our brand. And they can do various tasks like website management, you know, helping you build a training manual, and even just like the day-to-day, like auditing your inbox and helping you get closer to inbox zero. So yeah, finding an agency and, you know, interviewing the potential VAs on their team. I would forewarn people against the idea of any sort of agency or thing that has virtual assistants that are, say, in a third world country, like Bangladesh, India, all of those things. You might be really enticed by the fact that they work for $5 an hour, or you're like, wow, this is amazing. I would just forewarn you that you get what you pay for, I think, when it comes to VAs. So be cautious there. But then also, if they are more than 12 hours time zone difference from you, you're never going to be able to catch them, to talk to them, you know, in real time. And that's going to be really, really hard for communication flow. And so you want to make sure that your virtual assistant, whether you get that through Fiverr or another agency or, you know, a recommendation for someone else. I think the sweet spot is that your VA should be anywhere within like say 5 to 8 hours time zone difference from wherever you are. I have to say it's really, really nice when I work with my VAs who are in the States. I'm in the UK. They do stuff while I'm asleep. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, magic stuff has happened. This is amazing, right? And vice versa. So I can send things back to them while they're asleep. And, you know, that's a huge one.
Yes. So I have to tell you, that has always been a hesitation of mine as far as hiring, like you said, from we're going to be paying $5 an hour. And I'm not always that great at communicating things. And I know that there can sometimes you get
like you said, what you pay for, but at the same time, you could get what you pay for, and also there'd be a communication issue where you're not very clear on what exactly yes. you're asking them to do. So therefore, you're taking that time to reteach them what it is that you tried to communicate the first time. And I know for myself that communication is not a strong skill. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's get this yeah. done. So yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. So, and again, you know, 5 to 8 hours time zone difference, I think, is the sweet spot. You know, yes, you could work with somebody in your same city or in your same time zone, but there is beauty in sort of having that spread a little for maximum efficiency in work. And, you know, for me personally, I always want to make sure that we both speak English, right? Like that's basic. So that I know I can communicate and the subtle nuances of my tone of voice gets understood, you know, if and when we have video calls and checking in on things and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know what you're talking about with the time zone, because my virtual assistant is actually was North Carolina teacher where I live, but is teaching abroad in Prague right now. She is also way ahead of me. I think she's 6 or 7 hours ahead of me. And it's exactly what you said. You were sleeping and all of a sudden you wake up and everything's done. You're like, oh, okay, good. It's
brilliant. It really is. I tell you, it is magic. Yeah.
Yes. So now you have an opt-in. You have a virtual assistant guide. We will link to that in the show notes. Can you tell us a little bit more what we'll get out of that guide?
Yeah. So we have a handy dandy little guide to help you in when you're just starting out. You're like, I just want to hire my very first virtual assistant. So what are the things that you need to look for? Personality traits? What systems and tools do they need to have in place to help you better communicate? Tracking hours spent? All the nitty gritty, just all the things that you need to ask them, ensuring that it is a good fit for you and for your projects. One last tip on that is I would highly recommend when you hire your very first virtual assistant, this is not hiring somebody to be on retainer, in my opinion. So you're not saying, hey, I'm just going to do 10 hours a week for you know, whatever, indefinitely. So what are we going to work on? Oh, I don't know. No, the exact opposite. What I encourage you to do is do a test run and just book a bundle of hours if you can and work on one project. So it's like a trial. So we're going to do this one project. We're going to see how it is so I can get a little bit of money into this and invest. But if it is definitely not a match either for the skill set that you need or their communication style is not matching what you like, then you can cut ties and move on to something else or someone else. So yeah, consider finding one project to start, you know, book a like say 5 bundle hours and start there. And then, you know, it's that whole premise of hire slow and fire fast. Like this is you testing it, making sure it's a fit, and then, you know, adding on more hours as the projects you need grow.
Okay, perfect. That is such a great recommendation. I love that. All right, so we are going to link to the guide in the show notes. You all can make sure that you hop over. Don't do it while you're driving. When you're stopped, of course, come over to the show notes and make sure that you grab that. Mary, I appreciate you so much for taking the time to share your wealth of information with my audience. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, you guys. And thanks again for tuning in to the Simplifiers podcast as well.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right. Well, there you have it. Make sure that if you haven't had a chance to click over and to the show notes to get your guide for hiring your first virtual assistant. You're going to want to make sure that you have that in your hands so that you can make sure that you're doing everything that you possibly can to make this new hire easier, or when the time is right to make it easier. You guys, I appreciate you all so much. Give me a quick screenshot of you listening to the podcast episode and tag me at Jenny_Melrose in your Instagram stories. I want to see how you are listening, where you were listening, and when you are listening. Plus, I appreciate it so much when you guys leave a review on iTunes. It helps for other bloggers and influencers to be able to find the podcast. All right, guys, until next time, I will see you all then.